do not, and this is my big, big advice for anyone listening, do not go out there wanting to be an influencer.
Yeah.
Go out there with an actual core belief and a brand, and who are you,
yeah,
and what do you want to do with your life?
Welcome back to Bake the Podcast with me, Aisha Baker. Today, I speak to Giselle, who is the brand director at Zando and the girl boss behind the agency, The Mighty and The Mercy. Listen to her insights about influencer culture and the hard work it takes to have a side hustle.
Today in the studio, the Vake studio, it's not a studio, we at Work & Co. Doing a cool recording with Giselle Esau, yay! And if you don't know Giselle, she owns Mighty and the Mercy, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about her side hustle. So,
thank you.
How are you? I love
your
earrings.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love that you came in your wing, local design.
I always try and represent a little bit because I work with a lot of the local people. So
yeah.
I always try and show some love.
So tell us, like, obviously you support local design because you used to work in fashion.
Yeah.
And that's where I actually know you from.
Yes. I used to work at Elle. I was an intern like many of the people that you've probably met in the fashion industry. We did the unpaid internship for 6 months.
So wait, what do you do as an unpaid intern?
Like, you do everything.
Staff?
You literally do everything. I mean, you have a closet that you have to be in charge of. So I was working with another girl, and there were two of us in the Cape Town office, and we basically had to be in charge of shoots and making sure that the clothing got to shoots.
Oh, cool.
We would be in charge of like logistics of the shoots, making sure that the models were booked, making sure that the clothes were there, steamed, running around getting coffee for sure. I worked with the legends like Jackie Berger and Chris Fulyun.
No, you worked in the best time.
Yeah,
of
it was a fun
wanted
time.
To be in that era. It was so hard to get an internship as well. Do you remember?
It was very hard. I was very nervous when I went in for my interview because you know you were, it's like these big guys that you're interviewing with.
Yeah.
And then when I got the call, I think they were like, can you start tomorrow?
So oh my amazing. Gosh, that is so cool because I remember being... How old are you, by the way?
32.
Okay,
ooh, it sounds old when you say that out loud.
No, it's not. I can't wait to be 30. I'm 29. Yeah. I'm like so excited to
enjoy
30.
The last 20s, yeah.
No, I feel like your 20s are such trash. Like,
I also feel like I'm
you're so more, confused all the time.
I feel like I'm more secure now and I know what I'm doing and trying to achieve. 20s was a bit of a mess sometimes.
I feel like all my friends at 10, 30 as well, they're like, just like the switch goes off and then everyone's like, not like mature but still fun. Like I just know this shit. They're like,
exactly.
I love my body.
You can just roll with it
'cause
you know who you are. Yeah,
yes.
True.
Like that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're in the same age group. Mm. So I kind of know that back then, like when I was obsessed with the fashion industry, it was like, you know, everyone wanted to be like Jackie Berger.
Yes.
If some of our listeners may not know because they may be not be in the industry.
Yeah.
But Jackie was like
The epitome of style.
She was
and just
like
coolness.
Effortlessly stylish
exactly.
And like the gray
still
hair.
Is,
she still is. You can actually follow her on Instagram, guys, if you want to. But she had the gray and the Coco Chanel vibes.
Just everything.
And
effortless.
Like, what was it like to work at Elle at that stage when it was like in the height of being...
Like the height of fashion in South Africa. It was every day I felt really super grateful going to work. I mean, you know you're unpaid. You know you're running around like crazy. You know that they are going to make you do the craziest stuff. I always tell that story that I once phoned my father because I had like 100,000 rand worth of Burberry in my car.
Oh my gosh.
In my car. There was like smoke coming out of the boot or something out the front
you're
of my car. And
heavy.
I just freaked because I phoned my father. I'm like, the clothing in this car is worth more than the car. So I don't know how I need to get back to the office freaking. But it was always that
and
kind of thing.
And there was no
like,
Uber back then.
No, there was no Uber. You just have to run around in heels. And one day I got told, you know, you work at Elle, look the part. So I was like, okay.
You like, get my shit
dress in heels as well, look the part.
You guys always looked so nice when I would see you at events. Like,
we would have to. I think you would feel like you would just be like, you know, you have to represent the brand that you work for. And I've always firmly believed that wherever I work, that you should represent where you work. So I think that was the first lesson. And you have someone like Chris Fulyun, who's an absolute legend.
Oh my god, and he used to make me nervous.
He still can make people nervous, but yeah, I really love him. And it was just such a huge learning curve. I think I really grew up in terms of like, you know, you come from college or UCT where I studied. And
what did you study?
I did a triple major. So I did English and media, political science, and English, media, and political science.
Oh, cool. I wish I did media. I did business because my parents forced me. I wish I did media and then did like a postgrad in marketing.
I think that would have been the smart thing for me because looking at where I am now.
Yeah, tell us like, okay, so you've got the Mighty and the Mercy. You know what's funny is that people always tell me there's this new... agency that does like all the makeup artists, and I'm like, what's it called? The Mighty and the Mercy. Like, there's this new artist agency that represents all the musicians. I'm like, what's it called? The Mighty and the Mercy. I'm like, guys, I don't think you know what the Mighty and the Mercy is. So tell everyone, what is it?
So the Mighty and the Mercy grew from the fact that I was working at Spree for about 4 years, and I felt that I should...
You were the fashion director there?
No. I was head of brand for a while, but okay. I'd been working. So I started being a brand manager, and then I moved up, and then I was running the influencer, and I started the influencer program at Spree, and I started Spree Man.
Oh, cool.
So I built all these relationships, and I'd been at Spree for 4 years, and I felt like if I wasn't going to... And then I became head of brand at Spree, and then I wanted to move and try and do my own thing. So I was always looking, because I had all these relationships in the industry, and I've been working... People don't know because you're not trying to be famous, but I've been in this industry for 10 years. So I know people.
Well, we know. Everyone in the industry knows.
So I have all these relationships, and I just started thinking, like, this is my time. I need to do
step
what
into
I.
Your power.
Exactly. Step into my power, do what I know that I can do. And the Mighty and the Mercy was always like brewing in the back of my mind. And then I kind of started connecting with the people from Spree when, because then Spree and Superbliss happened, and I started connecting with the people that I knew, and everyone was kind of keen to work, and they were like, they'd worked with me at Spree for so long, and they knew that I was...
So these were like your influencers and media?
Yeah, a lot of it was just the connections that I'd started with. So I started this agency and ended up having 10 people on the books immediately.
Oh gosh.
So it wasn't like, so I could go to brands and say, I've got 10 people on the books already who are really trusting me to want to come and join. And the whole thing is, the only thing that I'm doing with that facet or part of the agency is that I am building their brand, which I know that I can do really well. I look after their brands, their partnerships, and building whatever they need to fulfill what they're doing currently.
So a lot of people listening to this are like budding influencers or wishing to be influencers or wanting to just know about the backside of the industry or the inside. So like, I know your agency is a little different to others. You specifically, I remember we were chatting, you're like, you only work with people who have like a vision for themselves and who have an existing career.
Yes.
And then you help them on the influencer side, which is like brand partnerships, which sort of correlate to their religion. Why am I talking about religion? their career and like, you know, what they wanting to do. So tell us a little bit about that and why you didn't do the traditional influencer agency.
Because I've worked in brand for so long, I know that no one's going to want to hear this, but it's flooded. The market is flooded. People, unfortunately, because you take good pictures for Instagram and Facebook and socials, doesn't mean that you're an expert in what you're doing, unfortunately.
You think brands are kind of realizing that
brands
now?
Are fully realizing. That's why I think Mighty and the Mercy is, and it sounds, I don't want to sound conceited, but it's doing
just
so well.
Just sound conceited. Own it.
But it's doing so well because I've built really good partnerships with big brands, because these guys are experts in what they do. I work with musicians who have careers. I work with beauty experts and like industry experts in what they do. And the brands know that they want to come to something like the Mighty and the Mercy, and know that whoever they're working with has been in the industry for a long time.
Yeah.
Not coming here saying, I really like this product because I think it's pretty.
Yeah.
There's background knowledge.
Like some of the artists that you represent, like I love that you represent Renee.
Yes.
She's a makeup artist. And she's also older. She's like...
Oh, I'm not an ageist.
No, I'm not an ageist either, but I love that she's older because... Yes. This just comes like I just think she's wiser than me.
Exactly.
So when she's telling me, like, she's worked in the industry for a while, she's worked on sets, and she's worked in like editorial and bridal,
like,
and everything.
We could always learn something from Renee just because she's been doing it longer than
she
I have, and she knows
me so
everyone.
Much.
And she's also got, and the cool thing is, a lot of these guys come to me and it's about managing the existing relationships.
Yeah.
And someone like Renee has got these partnerships that she's built for years. So me coming in is just really facilitating it so that we grow it into something more.
Because I've seen, like, because Renee did my makeup for the Cosmo cover that I did.
Nice.
And
oh,
I didn't meet her before that.
Yeah.
And I was like so nervous to meet this lady because I'm like, oh, I don't know. She doesn't really like post anything on social media. I saw like one picture of like her and her kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I can't like suss her out. And then I met her and she's this amazing.
I know, she's completely different to what you think she's going to be.
She's very like put together and beautiful. And then you meet her and she's got this almost like tomboyish, I don't know if that's the right word, like a down to earth, cool, like pretty, edgy.
When I met her, you instantly feel like you're at ease with her. And I feel like a lot of my clients, they're not always friends, but it builds into something because I really invest as much time as I can in each person.
Yeah, try to connect them.
Exactly.
And then I saw like now that she's working with you guys, it's almost like you guys have given her, because obviously she's a professional, she's into makeup and beauty and she knows everything in that space.
Yeah.
But you've kind of given her the I wouldn't say confidence, because she is very confident, mm-hmm. but like the push to like showcase that side of her personality on her profile.
Yeah.
And I did
have that conversation with her. I said, you need to be more on socials and
just show
people.
More of who you are.
Exactly.
And then I saw she's doing like all these partnerships and stuff with brands. So like, what's that like? And, you know, working with someone who's already sort of established themselves and then trying to not turn them into an influencer, but sort of make them more comfortable sharing themselves.
I think it's everyone is completely different. So I'm not trying to box anyone and say you need to be this because you are X, Y, and Z. Yeah. So I always sit down with each person and I say, what do you feel comfortable doing? Because I will never push you. I will always say to you, I will give you my advice. And if you want to do these smaller kind of things, it's up to you. It's totally up to you. I only want to do the best for your brand. And I think that sometimes, and also that's why people won't come to this agency, because I don't do things for money.
Yeah.
I do things because
which is
aligns.
Very rare.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've been managed by a lot of agencies, I can tell you.
Yeah. So I'm not ever going to push you and say this is a huge deal, do it because it's a big brand. Does it align with your goal for 2020 or 2021? Yeah. So I think with Renee, it's not like, or any of my guys, I'm not trying to force them into something because they need to make money.
Good.
So I think it's always like, you might not get a deal with me in 6 months, but if you do get the right one, it's going to benefit you and your entire brand for however long.
Well, I've been speaking to a lot of my clients and a lot of them are saying the same thing, which is like for them, the influencer bubble has burst.
Yeah.
And they're no longer putting money behind influencers, but more focusing on influential people with their tribe.
Exactly.
So that's why your agency interests me so much, because you noticed this trend sort of before it happened, which I thought was really cool. Yeah. And I think like for younger people who are maybe considering going into the space, they can also see like it's not always a full-time job.
It's definitely not. I would say
most of them are side hustle.
I think influencing into that level that what it's getting to with brands now in South Africa, it's definitely a side hustle. Don't expect that you're going to be influencing all day.
Yeah.
It's just not what's happening.
I was telling my other guest, Talia from Seattle Coffee, we were talking about how hilarious it is that, like, to us anyway, because obviously I was in the blogger space for a while and I used to like go get clothes and shoot our own editorials, which was fun, and it was like a time. And now seeing people do it like on Instagram, where they like go buy like a bunch of clothing and like walk around shooting Instagram editorials,
it's crazy.
Then it starts to become like this thing that you always see, and you're just like, where's the value exchange user?
As a user, there's no value. And also, what are you bringing to the table that's different, that is going to make you stand out?
Like, what am I getting from this picture?
Exactly. So I think that like, if you've got knowledge or something behind you, or that you're actually working on your brand and your career, it just, that makes you stand out to brands, because they can trust you. They can say, another thing that we don't do, and I'm not doing with my guys and with the team, is we don't do every single partnership.
Yes.
It's literally because I think, because I worked in brand a lot, I think people like to send me proposals and they say I've worked with 50 brands.
Yeah.
That is not a turn on for a brand manager or head
of brand.
No
one wants a brand slack.
No one wants a brand whore. You don't want to know that you've worked from Vaseline to whatever brand, because it means that you have no loyalty to the brand. So I always say advice to these guys is find one brand, like, you know, really build with a brand. And then from there, you know, it's really worthwhile for brands to see that you've stuck it out.
Yeah.
Because if I know that you've changed brands every 6 months, how do I trust you?
Number one, if you think about like doing this influencer thing as a like a full-time job,
it works
internationally, because they have so many products.
Exactly.
And so many people. Yeah. So you can always be like,
it's just a bigger environment and a bigger scale to work on. And also the numbers are bigger. I think here it is. It's very saturated.
It's saturated and it's so small. There's only a few people willing to pay you to do things.
I think a lot of people, you just have to deal with the free goodies and that's it.
And it's also fun to have free stuff.
It's definitely fun, but you can't eat and you free. Can't pay your bills with makeup and
this
jeans.
This is what like my sister really fascinates me. And I think I speak words on this podcast so much, but she needs to actually be a guest. She's studying accounts and finance and she's really into fitness. She's getting ready for a wedding and she gets so many paid clients at
the
moment.
Amazing.
And she's like, it's so cool because she doesn't need the money because she's focusing on her studies. And she's like, oh, no, this isn't fitting with my schedule.
Exactly.
And that's the kind of control you want to have when you're doing like these influencer gigs. Yeah, and exactly. I love that your people all have control. They're like, no, yeah. I'm shooting an editorial for a global client.
Exactly.
I'll do this in my spare time.
Exactly. And that's kind of how I am with my agency because I have a full-time job.
Yes. So that's why I wanted you here. Like, how do you manage the side hustle?
I've had so many people ask me, and I don't know if I told you about it, Aisha, if I was saying that in my brain, it's, you know, I don't know if you've seen that thing where it says too many tabs open.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel at any given time when I wake up, because I have currently on the books with Money in the Mercy, you've got 20 people.
Yeah.
And then Money in the Mercy also has different parts of it, like the actual marketing side of the agency. Yeah. And then I work full time as a brand director at Zando and do the 9 to 5.
And you launched Zando Man as well now, recently.
Yes, we just launched Zando Man about 4 months ago.
And what goes into that? Because a lot of people will say, oh, she launched it. Tell us what goes into like restructuring a brand to be more edgy, because that's kind of what they brought you into.
Yeah,
do, right?
Well, they brought me in to kind of make it more, I think, brand focused.
Yeah.
So when I started at Zando, it wasn't really brand, wasn't something that they thought about. It
was just definitely put product online.
It was definitely about the numbers and making the numbers. And I mean, they're doing a good job. It's the only company that's been around an online e-commerce for 7 years for fashion.
Yeah.
So they are not, the business model was working fine.
And you've come from fashion online before and you know how tricky it is.
Exactly.
Because like with Spree was so beautiful and like curated and stunning.
But didn't last.
It didn't last because not everyone can it's speak just that language.
Exactly. And you've also got to be realistic in the place that you're, the times that we're living in. We're living in South Africa. Not everyone cares that everything looks beautiful and it's fashion. I mean, that was my background. And that was a lot of the people at Spree's background was coming from a fashion editorial kind of
And we kind
vibe.
Of like fashion people think that everything is about how it looks. Like,
I'm very focused on...
I've learned to deal with the bottom line.
Exactly. And that's how your mind shifts. And I think Xander's teaching me a lot of lessons as well. About it can look beautiful, but it's got to be functional.
Yes.
So I think I've come in there and I'm trying to change up a brand and give them more of a brand focus, which I think we're working on. And
no, you guys are doing a good job, because I'll just be honest. For me, like, Xander was not on my radar.
Yeah.
I didn't follow them on socials. Yeah. I didn't sign up to their newsletter. Yeah. And then I saw the change before knowing you actually worked at Xander. Yeah. I thought you just did Mighty and the Mercy.
No.
And then we were chatting. You're like, oh, no, I'm working full-time at Xander doing the brand. I'm like, what? How do you have time for all of this?
Yeah.
And I could see the change for me, like, creatively. They just speaking to me as a consumer more. I'm buying the same products that I was buying in other brands like Superbus.
And I think it was also just opening people's perception or the mind that Xander actually does sell the same brands. It's just you wouldn't have gone to that site because you thought it was something that it was. And it's a lot about brand awareness and the fact that we just need to get people to the site to check that the same product that you see anywhere else is available on Zander.
Yeah.
So I do that 9 to 5, and then my in the
Mercy 9 to 5. Oh my
sorry,
God.
8 to 5. My boss is gonna kill me. 8 to 5. And then I do Mighty in the Mercy on weekends. So I had one Saturday off last week out of a year that I've been doing Mighty in the Mercy now, and it was just so weird because I was like, I'm not even opening my laptop, I'm not speaking to anyone, and I had because normally I do all meetings on the weekends and I try and shoot
I know I get my emails
to
you from you on a Sunday.
And then I'll send and then I'll work after hours after work as well, so I'll do probably 2 to 3 hours every night on Mighty and the Mercy just to catch up on what I'm not. And then my clients and everyone I speak to, they can WhatsApp me whenever. If you're listening, don't WhatsApp me whenever.
I WhatsApped you last
night. So it's just like, yeah, so the communication, I keep the lines of communication very open, but I'm also OCD in that if you send me a message at 9, I feel like by 9:30 if I haven't replied. So
you
that's
start
just
stressing.
Exactly. And I just make sure What's that my email is always up. Aries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's actually like, why is my producer laughing? Because he doesn't believe in star signs.
I was are you laughing at
Aries? He's going to now tell him, give me a lecture after this about how he believes in science. I believe in star signs.
I'm very much aligned to my star sign.
And
so
your moon
sign? I don't know my moon sign, actually.
Okay, you
I
need to
figure
out.
That.
Because
I
found out like that my moon sign is Aquarius because my sun sign is Gemini.
Ah.
And I'm like a quintessential Gemini, but then my Aquarius side comes
I need
through.
To see my moon sign.
Yeah,
I'm
your
so
moon
intrigued.
Sign often like showcases your emotional side. So for me, like, I'm an Aquarian, which is like, I'm more like in touch with my emotions and I'm emotional. And I used to like always run away from that in my 20s. Like, well, I'm still 29, but I mean, like, going in to 30 now, I feel like I'm different.
Yeah,
I'm not like ashamed to be emotional anymore, and I'm like just owning that whole
I think
side.
That for me, what shifted, especially with mindfulness, because I have to be so organized, is this OCD part of me.
Yes.
Where before I'd be like, you know, let's have fun and do a little bit of admin, But now I'm very much admin focused and I have to get stuff done because I've got so many people relying on me and I want to keep all my clients happy, and I just make sure that I'm always running everything to the best of my ability so that everyone's happy.
And you're doing such a good job of, like, I think, keeping everyone happy because everyone says nice things about you. Because I obviously, I'm friends with like 90% of your clients. And I also recently just became one of your clients, as Millennial Mama.
Yeah.
And I just see how you work. And it's like amazing to me that you even have time. Because for me, I shut down like after 7. Yeah. I'm like, do not.
But you're also a mother, so it's different.
Okay, yeah. Maybe when you have a kid.
Give yourself some.
But my kid sleeps at like 7. So I think from 7 to like 12 is like my time.
I also think like I have to do these things like Mind the Mercy now because if I have kids in the future. It's just things. I mean, this is my time now.
Yeah. So and I'm basically like grabbing. Not sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm on the cusp. I've always been very focused on my career. And I think now Mind the Mercy is taking off. I don't see how I would be able to shift it right now for something
it's
so
huge. It's amazing how you shift things, eh? Because I think when I had my son, I was really, because it wasn't planned, I was really like shook because I thought like, oh, I was so focused on my career. Yeah. Like it was I was laser focused. Yeah. And then like I had to stop everything. Yeah. And when you stop, I don't know if you had this when you were at Spree, where you had to like kind of stop and just like assess everything around you and be like, okay, my business is changing. Yeah. My life is changing. What do I do?
Everything changed. I think with the Spree and this Purplist like merging, I had a month off before I started at Xander. So gave me time to like assess like how was I going to run the next year of my life and figure out how am I going to do Mighty the Mercy, and if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. So I made that agreement with myself last year and I
so
just
why
said,
didn't you go back into magazine?
I was going to be very honest and say money.
Yeah, okay.
The mags just do not pay you enough. Yeah. They expect you to live a very glamorous life and you work.
And you do because everything's free-ish. It's kind of like being an influencer.
Exactly. But you actually just, you can't live off, free products. Yeah. So I made a very early decision at the beginning because I worked in beauty for about a year and a half at L2.
Yeah.
And there it was cool. It was like styling beauty, going to a lot of beauty events and writing
and
a lot for the magazine.
Getting lots of fancy beauty products.
That was the time. Like I mean, Chanel. You were just, that was where, I think if anyone wants to go into a career of influencing, become a beauty editor.
Oh my gosh. Even as an influencer, like when I was doing more beauty stuff.
Exactly.
Oh my God, the products.
The luxury Chanel. I know. Like, I still have stuff, like old stuff.
My
and I'm
perfume
like,
count is amazing. Like I'm not even going to lie.
No, I think everyone should. I mean, I'm not even lying. When I worked, I was there for about a year and I was just an assistant, like a beauty assistant. That was like 8 years ago, whatever, with Lynette, who was amazing.
Oh, Lynette is Nettles. What is she doing now?
She's freelancing and she's a writer, but just in the most exotic places.
Oh,
and then
wow.
Mommy of two, so she's amazing. Also living the vegan life. Shout out to you, Lynette.
Are you vegan?
No. Okay. I'm trying to be veggie as much as possible.
I went veggie for like 3 months when I was pregnant. I couldn't look at meat, so I was
okay.
I told my husband like we're vegetarian from now on.
I did veggie for 6 months last year and I'm trying to go back, and I went to the States in October, and I'm sorry, that's what ruined me. I was veggie for 6 months.
Bad is the food there?
I got there and I just inhaled turkey, I think.
I freaking like American food is bad.
It's bad.
It's so good.
I had
good,
my
it's
first
bad.
S'more. And my boyfriend.
Have you had those cookies? Those like
oh my god, the graham crackers!
Oh my god, it's
I had
so
a
good.
S'more in front of a fire in the woods. In and I was like, okay, so I get it now. I understand.
No, I would be like obese. If I
said
lived
I was
there.
Like, if I lived there, it would be crazy for
like
me.
The size of the portions as well.
I know,
like,
everything
this is a lot.
And I was in Wisconsin, and we ate cheese. I mean, I was in the car. We were on a road trip, eating packs of these cheese blocks.
Oh my god!
Yeah, a restaurant to have these deep fried cheese balls.
I was
cheesed out actually.
You're like where the cheese at.
Yeah, so
the only place in the States that I find isn't value for money is New York. It's like,
oh my gosh,
you get like a coffee and you're like, wow.
I'm still planning. I
want
to go back
one.
To this to New York, but because my boyfriend's
have you been
from
to
Wisconsin.
LA?
No, I haven't actually done the West
you
Coast.
You guys
at all,
must do
so
West
I really
Coast.
Need to.
Yeah, it's really and Summer's there. And if you know Summer,
yes,
Summer Thompson
Summer.
Is shout out Summer. She's a model from South Africa, from Cape Town actually. And I think Carmen's there too.
Carmen's there right now as well.
Yeah, a lot of Sapphires in LA, and LA is like. It's so cool. It's like Cape Town.
Yeah.
It's very
cool.
No,
they look like they're having a crazy amazing time.
And so, I feel like you'd get so inspired work-wise. Like, yeah, everyone's just hustling out there.
They are.
Like, I accompanied
my friend. I think someone was supposed to be there for 3 months, and I'm sure she's been there for about
There for longer. Yeah. I actually messaged her. I'm like, you're doing good, girl. Keep going.
Well, she was on KKW Beauty.
So I know. Amazing. So when I was out there, I went with my friend Natasha. She's a model. I went with her to her agency meeting. Yeah. And I took my laptop. I'm like, let me just do some work while she's busy. And when she came out, the agent was like, okay, we'll see you. What was your name again? I'm like, no, I'm not yet.
And really?
Like, no, it's fine. Let's just come. I'm like, I'm too short to be a model and I'm not slim. And he's like, no, we can find something that works for you. Like, hustle to the next level.
I think I would love that.
Like, it's just like, this guy saw me and he's like, let me just hustle here. Because I think she can fit in with my, like, clientele.
Yeah, I definitely think. And when I say this, like, I really think this, everything I'm doing and that people should try and, you know, never give up, is that it is a hustle.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you, in what industry, I mean, I feel like people need to see things as it is a hustle. Everyone's trying to do something amazing. I think I applaud everyone out there doing the same thing or trying to do the same thing. And it is a hustle and we've all got to just keep going.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people I get discouraged sometimes and I'm like, geez, I've been doing this for however long.
I want to ask you, do you ever get discouraged? Like, this stuff to balance.
I mean, I probably moan to my boyfriend a lot about it sometimes. Okay. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm working all the time and I'm not seeing the fruits of my labor. But then I get so many, it's so weird because I've gotten so many people who want to join the agency.
Yeah.
And like so many, like, and it's that I find really inspiring that people, and they say, whatever they see that we're doing, they think it's completely different to what others are doing. So I find that really inspiring.
It's
because
so unique,
like, I want to stick to my vision. And a lot of times I've had people come and say, can we do this? And I'm like, it doesn't work with the Mighty and the Mercy vision, and it doesn't work with my guys or the team's vision for what I want to try with
everyone. I feel like you like kind of creating, or you, so I think because you worked in magazine, you're at the cusp of trends all the time.
Yeah.
You know when to spot them and how to see them through, right?
Yeah.
And I think like where you at now, and if speaking to like all the corporates in South Africa, everyone's kind of looking for that.
Yeah.
Like the influential person,
exactly,
not the influencer.
Exactly.
So like what advice would you give a young kid who's coming out there and she's like, I want to be an influencer, like how do you think one can establish themselves as more influential and have that like influencer part as a side hustle as opposed to going full on and just like being on Instagram all day?
100%. Do not, and this is my big advice for anyone listening, do not go out there wanting to be an influencer.
Yeah.
Go out there with an actual core belief and a brand and who are you and what do you want to do with your life. If it means you want to work in music, focus on the music.
Yeah.
If you want to work in fashion, focus. I mean, I didn't do these internships for free just for fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was fun at the time, but also I was, you know, I had a goal for my life.
But don't you find millennials don't want to intern?
No. I mean,
Gen Z's.
I don't even know Gen Z.
Yeah, the younger ones. They, like the under 23s, they love interning.
Yeah.
I get intern applications from young kids all the time, but they just want to learn. And they like the best interns.
And that's what I'm saying. If you can just stick it out and do what you just learn, take in as much as possible, because there is actually no replacement for the fact of like hard work and just being doing it and hustling and actually and learning your craft.
Yeah.
Because if you don't focus on what you want to do and have this day job and like a career, the rest of it will follow. You will eventually become an influential person in whatever you're doing because you've worked really hard and you've built a
community
base and a foundation and you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's very easy for someone that I work with, or like if I worked with you, to be like, Aisha, you must know because she's been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's much easier for me to introduce you to a brand than someone, not a nobody, that sounds terrible, but someone who's just taking great pictures.
Yes. So I think I see a lot of girls doing it now where they're taking awesome pictures and I see it online and then I'm like, but what's the thing?
Where's the rest of you?
What's happening here?
And it sounds terrible, but who are you?
Yeah.
And what do you have
vision
to share? And what do you have to give the world and brands, and not just brands, like what are you putting out there that people want to hear about?
I think it's like the paying it forward concept.
Exactly.
Like there needs to be a value exchange. Like I'm not going to go into your profile just to see you looking amazing. Like tell me something, teach me something, show me something.
Exactly.
Like you represent one of my best friends, which is Nikita.
Yeah.
And Nikita's a fashion photographer. And I love that she's so stylish and beautiful outside of her work.
Outside of it, like Nikita,
so it's like kind of cool to see behind the scenes.
Exactly,
almost.
And Nikita is one of those easy ones to work with because she's so talented in her career.
Yeah,
and the brands really love that because she has a point of view in her art.
Yeah,
and because she is obviously stunning and it's very fashionable, she's easy to sell because there's so many things to talk about with Nikita. Because she is one of the most talented in her field,
yes,
is female, is, you know, all these kinds of things that people are interested in behind the scenes, exactly like you said.
I like knowing, like, what does Nikita drink? What does she eat? What does she wear? Like, it's just fun because I know I see her work all the time. Yeah. It's nice to see her as well.
And it's a lot of these guys, like Taryn as well. Like these.
Are you representing Taryn too?
Taryn, yeah.
Taryn's a stylist, for those who don't know. I mean, I feel like we're talking so much industry. I have to, like, give everyone's bias. Taryn Opal is the stylist she's to be the
former fashion director of Elle Magazine and Marie Claire.
Yes.
So she.
I miss Elle and Marie Claire so much. The first thing I did when I went to the UK is
buy your Elles.
Mm. I literally was like, oh.
That's the one mag I will buy everywhere. It's Elle. I will always be loyal.
I freaking love Elle. Yeah. I love the pages. I love
always.
The
I think you and I discussed this. We were like, Elle is just my
best one. Magazine. I was just. The other day I went to Exclusive and I was reading the new issue.
Yeah.
I don't have money to spend on magazines right now. I'm like, if I have to pay for it, nope. I have to spend money on food.
Yeah.
So I go to Exclusive and I go and read my magazines.
The mags.
Oh my gosh, time to read. And I was looking at Elle and I was just telling my assistant who's studying, she's an intern assistant. Yeah. She's studying what is she studying? Advertising. Mm. And we're looking at the pages and like discussing the pages. And I just love the typography even.
Everything.
Of Elle. It's like they consider so much that goes into that
it's
magazine.
It's the one mag I really always felt connected. I think the first time I saw an Elle, I was 13.
Yeah.
And the cover just like screamed at me. And then I think, I don't know if Devil Wears Prada came out before or after I interned, but it's always like these things that you were like, this is the industry I want to be in.
Yes.
And I think everywhere that I will continue to work for the rest of my life, I'll always have that background and that kind of fashion love first.
I think Elle was the first magazine to feature me outside of like 17, obviously because I was younger then.
Yes.
17 featured me once or twice. I was the Urban Scout when I was in high school.
That's amazing.
I know, it was actually, that was my first taste of like the media space. So you signed up and you could be an Urban Scout for like a year.
Oh, cool.
And then I think I was 17 and you got to visit the office. And then you would like go do like a closet tour or like go talk to the editor.
I remember when I went to Elle for that interview and I just really felt like I need to work here.
Yeah.
And you had that feeling like I want to be here and I would be happy here for the rest of my life. It was that kind of feeling. Like I just felt
at
home.
Everybody from Elle said that and like they would always say like even though it didn't pay a lot, they just loved the job so much.
And I loved the people. I loved the vibe. It was really like a family and everyone had to work really hard because I mean it's such a small team.
Yeah.
People don't understand what a small team it takes to put an entire 100-page mag together.
I know. It's crazy.
Exactly. So I think you become tight and as an intern, especially when I was working as an intern, those late nights where you're like, because I was doing a side job as well. Again.
You were just a side hustler.
I was working at like a club being a door lady. So I'd work eight to five and then I would do like go to the club and do the door from like 9 to 1.
Which club was it?
Bang Bang.
Bang Bang was in, it was like EDM and Coco is now, eh?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I think I used to go to Bang Bang.
Yeah, so I did Flip, that
I can't even remember the names of the clubs I went to when I was younger.
I always say it was Bang Bang. That's what I used to go there a lot, but I was working at the same time. And you'd work from like 9 to 1 or 2 or whatever and then go to work the next day.
I think for me, the massive takeaway like from what you're saying is like how important the side hustle is for you and like...
Yeah.
You can actually achieve your dreams because I think a lot of people put themselves in this position where they're like sitting at home and they're not working. They're becoming despondent and then they're like, oh, let me start like an Instagram page.
Don't that shouldn't be your first.
No,
your
like
first
go
reaction.
Work at freaking.
Do anything.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Just go work at a store. So like.
Most places have internships. You would be surprised.
Well, even if you're not like willing to, you need more money so you can't work as an intern, like. Waitressing, like I feel like any job teaches
any
you
job.
So much.
I worked for my father from the age of 16 in his office because he's got a practice, and I just was a receptionist.
I was a cashier.
I mean, I did it, and I was just like, I want to work. I've always wanted to work and just
my
do my own thing.
My dad has a auto fitment center, so it's like where you go get new tires and stuff. And I was literally the cashier there in the holidays.
Well, my father's got a practice because he's a doctor, so I worked in the doctor's office.
And it's not a cute job. It's
definitely not a cute job. I wasn't looking good, but I did that for about 6 years.
Yeah.
And then I would work Saturdays, and intern at Elle and do the Bang Bang job.
Oh my gosh.
And that was me at 22.
So and I think, feel like you developed your work ethic. Yeah. Right?
And I think then you just get used to it. And I've always worked like these 8 to 5 days. And I think other people, and you know what I find weird is that I really enjoy working. So yeah. I don't sit in an office and go, oh my God, I feel like I'm in a prison, which I've heard lots of people say. But my mind is always so active because I've got ideas and I get to be creative at Xander. And Mighty and the Mercy is now next level creative.
I think the worst job I've ever had was working at the Fashini Group.
Oh, really?
Not to discourage anyone who wants to work in corporate, but like they were so averse to change.
Oh, no, that's
it was
hard.
Like you can't put any ideas forward. And I worked in the wrong department. I thought I wanted to be a buyer. What I really should have done is work in marketing because that's what I'm good at. And I wish someone like could have guided me and said, like, apply for the marketing position.
I mean, I never thought I would be like in love with marketing as much as I am now and at this point in my career. I always thought I was just going to be a fashion journalist. Like, that was it. I was going to write about fashion for the rest of my life. And it's just cool how life can take you on a journey and you realize. And also, as you learn and try new things, you also become, you realize that you are good at more than one thing.
Yeah.
And I think people need to try things and be okay with failing.
Yes.
Because that is, failing is a lesson in itself.
Yeah.
If you realize that you can't do something, try something else and don't give up.
And don't be afraid, I think, to like showcase, you know, you put yourself out there.
Exactly.
And then like maybe not receive what you want to. And I think,
because I was very scared to start Mind the Mercy. I was like, really? What if I never have any clients? What if I don't know what I'm doing? Which sometimes I feel like I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just also think like, you know, fake it till you make it is a real thing.
No, I think that that's our generation though, that believes that. Yeah. It's like, I definitely faked it till I made it. And then now I'm at the point of making it.
Exactly.
And now I'm faking it again, like launching my new brands. And I'm like in meetings thinking,
Exactly.
You know Kelly that we work with on Millennial Mama. So Giselle does the PR for Millennial Mama and Kelly does the events. And Kelly was sitting with me in a meeting with one of our brands and I'm busy pitching to them. And they said something and I made up like a whole other thing that we haven't even discussed.
Yeah.
Kelly's looking at me like, where did this come from? Because like you just have to kind of fake like, oh, you know what we can also do for you? We can do this and this and this. And she's like, we can? Okay.
And but the thing with me now, I'm feeling more confident and I'm saying to you as I'm getting older in what I'm doing and who I am. So I actually go into meetings now and I'm not like, well, you do know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I also think like once you just like allow yourself to, you know, try things and you are learning every day.
Yeah.
And I always feel like I know more than I think I do. And especially when you go to like pitch meetings or like, you know, you meet these clients. As soon as people start talking, I'm like, I actually know exactly what I want to do with this client.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And, like, and then sometimes you walk in and you go, yes, I know what I'm talking about.
Like, I'm the boss. So tell us before you leave, what are your like future goals for Mighty and the Mercy and for yourself?
Mighty and the Mercy. So originally when I had this idea, I wanted to go into fashion. Always. Okay. Fashion is like my side hustle. It's like my dream. It's like, it just makes me happy.
Yeah.
And I always thought like when I left Mags, I'm like, I'm only working here so that I can get the clothes.
Yeah.
I'm not making enough money to buy the clothes. So the whole thing always led from a fashion thing. I wanted to make a lot of money so I could buy the beautiful clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very superficial thing, but that
was when
I was younger.
I think fashion is art. I love clothing.
Exactly.
I love it.
And it's just something that I even said to my boyfriend, I mean, we are like completely different spectrums of like fashion. And I'm like, this is who I am. I'm obsessed with fashion.
Yeah.
So I think Mighty and the Mercy was, I always had this vision to kind of create a fashion brand linked to Mighty and the Mercy.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
And
I'm here for it.
That could be a separate entity because, and now I can tell everyone what Mighty and the Mercy stands for because a lot of people are like, where did this come
from? Yes. What does it stand for? So, I just thought it was a cool name.
No, I know. I mean, it's pretty cool. People are like, oh, that's Mighty and the Mercy.
Yeah.
But it actually stood for how I felt as a person and looking at fashion. And you, and in 10 years' time, I want people to go, are you Mighty or are you Mercy?
Yes.
So I dress. And I think I'm 80% mighty, personality-wise, the way I dress, fierce, how I present myself. And then there's Mercy, which I think for me is more feminine side. So sometimes I am feminine. So
what is your Mercy side?
My Mercy side is more feminine side. But I think people should be able to...
But like, unpack that.
It's if I wear really beautiful, like floral dresses.
Okay.
I don't do that on day to day.
Because what Giselle's wearing right now, she's got like... one white
don't talk
pinky
about my
nail. I thought it was a look. And then some rings and
I'm wearing like chunky boots that are metallic.
Chunky
have, like,
metallic
flow,
boots, a chunky jersey, some very cute earrings that looks like snakes from
Lorne, that's for you.
And what your bracelet is like evil eye. And then you've
evil
got like your tats.
I've got snake bracelet.
Yeah. So you like I can see that Mighty and Mercy. For me, your outfit today. It's like all your tattoos and your jewelry is like the Mighty.
Yeah.
And your boots and then the jersey is like the Mercy.
Exactly. There you go.
And I think it
stems from that. And it definitely stems to like, and also on my website, I break it down into, so I took the concept further.
Okay.
And the website breaks it down into Mighty is all things like campaigns and and like the heavy lifting is what I call it. So okay. Working with you and Millennial Mama,
yeah.
That is more of a Mighty event because it's an okay. event and yeah. I'm actually doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Mercy is my conceptual creative side. So okay. if people come to me and they say, I need to work on brand strategy, we have to use my brain. So I've built the concept on the site as well of yeah. Mighty and the Mercy.
And if brands want to like, because a lot of my people that follow me and I'm probably listening to this podcast are also working at brand, thinking like, how can we elevate our brand? So from a brand perspective, which brands do you try and align your influences with?
So I have really great partnerships right now with Sunglass Hut.
Okay.
And Estee Lauder. We're yeah. doing some great things with Jo Malone.
So like legacy brands.
Yeah. I'm looking for the big brands who have a really good a legacy.
Yeah.
And that I'm not looking for kind of small things. It's like with yeah. Sunglass Hut, we're doing such great things now with Carl Deitch and Youngster.
Yeah.
Which is coming out
is
in
Youngster
a month.
One of your clients?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So Youngster and Carl and I are working on something amazing with Sunglass Hut. And then we've got something in the pipeline with Nikita.
Okay.
So the cool thing with Sunglass Hut is that they basically wanted to work with six of my team.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
For this whole year.
So you try and push everyone forward.
The cool thing is, also, I don't want to give my business straight away, but it's just working for the teams at brands, see my buffet almost of talent, and they can work with whoever they feel. But yeah. I also, the point of me being there is that I align them yeah. according to the
you
brands.
You act as like the sort of...
Yeah.
The controller.
A lot of the brands will come to me and say, I want to work with this person. I'm like, not a good fit.
Yeah.
Because this person
and
doesn't actually like your
what
brand.
If your client says, I want to work with X brand and you don't really believe
I will in. Help you, but I will always say to you, I don't think it's a good fit.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm not going to stop you. If you want to make money and it's your idea, you're still my client. If yeah. you want to do it, go ahead. But it's not something that I will push for.
Yeah.
So when I look for sponsorships and deals and those kinds of things, it's only the ones that I think are worthwhile.
And if there's someone out there who's doing something like interesting and cool and they want to push their personal like career brand online, what are some of the tips that you'd give like that your people do that make them so amazing? So for example, like maybe like a Youngster or a Nikita mm-hmm. or like a Luke Diva, mm-hmm. they showcasing themselves.
Love you, Luke.
Love you. They're showcasing themselves in a really cool way. So what are some of the tips and like what are they doing that other people can implement on their profiles?
I think one thing is that they only showcase the very best of themselves
okay.
on Instagram and those platforms. They show their work, number one. They don't go out there and kind of tell you, I'm out eating at this place.
Yes, yeah.
They really showcase what they do.
Yeah.
So Luke Diva is very much about gender fluidity
yes.
and showcases those parts of himself or, you know, what he's up to.
In a curated way.
And brands are really into that. But he's also totally Luke Diva. There's an element of like, this is who I am. And we did this cool party that you were at. The
yes. Oh, my God.
And that was just Luke being,
Luke made
you know,
like 5,000 speeches.
Exactly. And just like that. And so I sit down with him. I say, what do you want to discuss and what do you want to do? And yeah. that was his strategy is where he wants to be as yeah. Luke Diva and the gender fluidity and putting that out there.
Yeah.
So I think my biggest tip is put out your best self. You can start two platforms if you want. One is personal, but if it's your work one, put out the best of what you do yeah. on those platforms and showcase what you do. And if you're doing something really well, brands will notice. It's not very hard for me to push these people because they are putting out the best of themselves yeah. on these platforms. You have two platforms. One can be personal where you put your family and yeah. what you're doing every day and then use the platform as best as you can and have it as a place that
to
you can
showcase your talent.
Exactly.
So it's almost like a billboard for your talent.
Yeah.
And what you have to offer.
Because it's not like my team are doing something that other people aren't doing.
Yeah.
They just are doing it really well.
Yes.
And they stick to a level and a standard that, you know, that's what I'm trying to keep at my team as well.
Yeah.
I heard somewhere that someone said that my team is team elite. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
I'm not trying to be
the
team
cool
elite,
kids.
But I am. But we are establishing ourselves as yeah. something like that.
I don't think it's for me, maybe it's not intimidating because I know everyone
exactly.
on that side. But yeah, you guys are elite in the way that you present yourselves.
Yeah.
Even your page, Mighty and the Mercy, yeah. on Instagram, it's got a very curated, clear brand identity,
yeah.
which I really like. And I think like for anyone who's freelancing or has a small business, that's a nice way to approach social media
yeah.
is having a more curated space. I see a lot of small businesses making the mistake where they for example, maybe own like, you know, a private chef or something, and they're posting a lot of personal moments within their business moments, which exactly. I really think doesn't work.
And I think with Mind the Mercy, you will never see me posted on that page. You'll yeah. never hear who runs it.
Yes.
And someone is saying to me, like, can you, you're going to have to put your face out there eventually. I'm like, you know, I want to get to an works. Empire one day where no one's ever met me.
Yes.
I mean, that's terrible, but I also want to just keep it. But
also front facing in your business is really hard. Eh?
Exactly.
Like, I can tell you from my side, like, trying to switch it from being yeah, exactly. influencer to being an entrepreneur. Exactly. People still see me as an influencer, and that does drive my yeah. business, and I do use that to drive my business, but at the same time, like, I get that question, like, oh, so when you say work, what work do you do? And I'm like, oh, exactly. my effing God. If you knew, like, yeah. all I do in a day, you would, like,
so I'm very over. Much, like, Mind the Mercy is very much, like, it's a business, and yeah. I run it as such, and it's a very branded, the brand that I'm trying to create.
Yeah.
And you'll never see me talk, you'll never see me on the page, you'll never hear who's running it, you'll never, sometimes I repost myself, so I just get something out there.
Yes.
But it's not, you'll never see my face on that page ever.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to punt myself. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be known.
I love that you don't want to be famous.
I just want to work really hard and make the Mind the Mercy
and have like
big.
A legacy. Yeah. yeah. And at the same time, like, freaking pay your bills.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you have your 9 to 5. Exactly. And I think that's like one thing that I've always told people when they want to quit their jobs and become an influencer or blogger
my gosh,
or whatever.
Don't do it.
And like start a business. It's like, don't do don't that. That's do crazy. It. Unless don't you have it. A funder.
That would be my ending tip right now is don't do that.
Don't quit your job, people.
And the cool thing about Mind the Mercy is that because I have a 9 to 5, I can be very specific about yes. who I work with because I'm not driven by money. And I think you'll see how influencers are driven by money because yes. they'll do anything.
Yeah.
And that's not what Mind the Mercy is about. So that's clear. Not with, you know, that's not what I find being influential and good at your jobs about is doing something for the money.
Yes, totally. So, and I think also like what a lot of people need to know is that there are people out there who have like different blessings. Like yeah. there are people who are married to like wealthy husbands and all they can do is like share their life. Yeah. And that is totally fine.
That's totally
but
fine.
But understand the dynamic, like you quitting your job.
It's not going to make you find a rich husband.
Yes, and if you have yeah. like this backing where someone's financially looking after you.
Exactly.
And you can, you know, eat comfortably without having your meal sponsored, then
do
by
it.
All means.
I'm not stopping anyone. I don't want to block anyone's blessings. I heard that once from someone and yeah. it made so much sense. It's like, I don't want to block anyone's blessings. Do you? And, you know, you, yeah, do you.
But also understand the reality. Like, I always say this. Yeah. And people's lives look amazing online.
Oh, it's a highlight reel.
Yeah. And you need to understand the work that goes behind it. Even something like Mind the Mercy. If any of you guys go on Giselle's page right now, you'll see that it looks very chic, but I know the efforts and all the tabs that are open and yeah. the fact that you're running between two jobs.
Exactly.
So more power to you.
Thank you.
And where can everyone follow you?
At Mighty and the Mercy. And I've got a website which is www.mightyandthemercy.com. And if anyone wants to email me, it's Giselle at Mighty and the Mercy.
Oh, easy. Amazing. And will you be in trouble with your boss for this podcast?
No.
Because you might be late for work.
No. I think he got enough shout outs for Xander, so he's good.
Good. Xander. Exactly. Thanks for being with us, Giselle. And you guys can find me at Baked Online. You can find me on the web, www.bakedonline.co.za.
Thank
you. And we'll chat to you guys soon. Cheers.
Bye.
This is a POC podcast production. This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.